Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Hope you all had a good day yesterday celebrating Juneteenth. It was a delight. Now, Jeffrey has sadness from yesterday, but it was a delight to be off. I know, Jeffrey, you are a believer in the, if you're going to get an extra day, it should be
Monday or Friday.
Yeah. Which I don't disagree with, because a lot more things there than possible with a three-day weekend, trips and whatever else. Like, you can really lean into it. But Wednesday off isn't bad. You know, Wednesday off isn't bad, and so I appreciated those who inquired as to where we were, and indeed fretted that we might, you know, have been fired or be on strike or something like that. Neither of those things were true. We were just given the day off to celebrate Juneteenth, and so it's good to be back. We definitely races along, and so here we are on Thursday already. On Thursday, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then, not a moment too soon for Jeffrey, Kevin Cerrito returns as the trivia master. Or did he return last week?
This is
his return.
Correct.
Yeah. Returns as the trivia master. And he will be asking the questions. What's the prize, Jeffrey, today?
Jeff, we have four tickets to go see AEW Collision. It is July the 6th at Lander Center. You will get four tickets to go see all the live action from AEW Wrestling.
Yeah, I'm told there's athleticism, big personalities, exciting storylines, and hard-hitting wrestling action. That's all synonymous with AEW. And so there you go. That's the prize. All you got to do is beat Jeffrey. It'd be easier if I were asking the questions.
Correct.
But I am not. Or perform honorably. So that's the lineup for today. We got Chris Harrington. Then we got Writer Than Right Trivia. It is, Jeffrey, the first day of summer. It is summer solstice, which means it is the longest day of the year. Every day from here forward until December 21 will get increasingly
shorter.
And so I ask you, what are the three best things about summer? What are the three worst things about summer? And what are the three most overrated things about summer?
Okay, so...
Well, let's go worst. It's the spirit of our normal approach to life. Let's go worst first. I have an obvious one.
I mean, everyone's going to say the heat, but
No, it's no football. It's no sports. Sports in summer stinks. All you got is baseball. I mean, we're going to have the Olympics this summer, but
it's the sports calendar.
Isn't the sports calendar the worst part of summer?
I think from my perspective, yes.
And I think for the majority of our listeners, the worst part of summer is the sports calendar.
It's you've gotten into this habit of having big games on almost every single night, and then you turn your TV on and you go, now what?
It's been pretty thin with the way the NBA playoffs have gone, et cetera, right? It's not been,
sure.
Let's be honest, it's not been the greatest thing in the world as it is. And now I really am geared up for the draft. Literally, a week from today, we will be talking about what the Grizzlies did in the first round.
Exactly.
So I'm pumped for the next week, and then we'll have free agency, and that's fun. Because the Grizzlies really have a serious hole to fill, and so it'll be fascinating to see how they go. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So it's not, and then we got the Olympics this summer, and so that's, I'll get into them when they happen. The sports calendar is the worst part of summer.
Yes, I think that's clear.
Okay. How about this? For parents, the lack of school.
Yeah, the lack of routine.
The lack of routine. Yeah, the lack of programming.
Sure. I can get on board with that.
Now, it's a flip side if you're a kid. The lack of programming is a strength of summer.
Yeah.
No school.
I would also argue, though, summer vacation you take for granted. You know what I mean? To me, the best of all vacations is Christmas vacation because you cherish each and every day. Like you really are productive in doing whatever you want. Whereas the summer, you just like
boredom sets in.
I got a lot. There's so many days I can do this. So
now that does, okay. On. So that the worst part of summer doesn't apply to me because I don't have kids that I have to program for now. I'm going to stipulate that the second worst thing about summer, after the sports calendar, is bugs.
Sign me up. Because now there's like the last two nights in my house, I've seen three like flying beetles. Didn't even know that was a thing.
I got flies in my house, and if I go outside,
everywhere.
I'm consumed by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I have a pool. I cannot enjoy being outside because I am consumed by mosquitoes.
Yeah, I can co-sign the bringing of the bugs, yes.
And then the heat, I don't mind.
I don't either.
I've just become like, whatever. I guess you can say some of you would say the heat. Is there anything else bad about summer? I don't like sunburn. That's fine. It's your own fault. Don't get sunburned. Like,
there is preventative.
I'll see what Google says. Worst things about summer.
It just feels like nothing happens, but I don't know is that because our life is largely
sunburn, bugs, mosquitoes. Oh, here's one: the television calendar.
Yeah, because all the seasons
also true of the.
But like, you can get caught up on other stuff, like, and then you also like you have House of the Dragon going right now. That's a big one.
Let's be honest. Some would say the beach is one of the best things. No, I'm not a big fan.
Well, the other problem,
smells, night sweats. Well, that's fine, but you know, whatever. No,
that's what air conditioning's for.
I think we've nailed it. Okay, what are the best things about summer?
I think in general, the best things about summer to me, it's just like
the pace. Isn't it the pace? Summer is a little slower. It's just
You don't feel as I don't know. I'm just never as stressed out during the summer.
Right. It's relaxed. Summer Correct. Is relaxed. Even if you're not a kid who's off vacation, even it's more. I think summer is just the pace of summer. It's you got vacations. Right, there will most people take some sort of vacation in the summer. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
And summer is just it. Really, you know, summertime and the living is easy.
It's just I don't know. You get when you have more daylight. I also think that's a big deal.
Long days, long days.
You know, what I mean, I just
there's, longer days. People
to me,
like
there's
that.
Just nothing more depressing than that January day when you realize, like at 4:30, it's dark.
Long days. So we got. Let's see what the internet says about the internet says the best things about summer are. Best thing about summer are the beach, no school, barbecues, road trips. That's all fine. Hammocks, ice cream. I can eat ice cream any day of the year. Concerts, fireworks.
I do
outdoor
love fireworks.
Movies. You love fireworks.
Yes, I'm.
But,
I'm
but
a
your dog
guy.
Does not.
Correct.
And so there you go. The to me, the most overrated part of summer is beaches. I'm on record. I'm not a big beach guy. You know what the other thing is? Picnics.
Yeah, I'm with you. Eating outdoors, like
you have to pack the whole thing
and it's
up.
Also, it's like
it's such a big production.
And then you're just always worried about the bugs getting
and
on the food.
The damn bugs again. I don't care about the bugs on the food as much, but just bugs right, everywhere just, being consumed. I'm picnics wildly overrated.
Yeah, I'm with
anyway,
you.
Anyway, happy summer, everybody. It is the first day of summer.
I do think a big part of it, though, you're right. One of the more depressing things is because you don't have football, it's almost like you're wishing summer away.
That's the thing. You're exactly right. You're trying to race through summer to get to fall.
Which is a problem, yes.
Because you don't want to race through summer to get to fall. That's you. Why should you? You should enjoy summer. You shouldn't just be. You can argue camps starting. That's a good part of summer. That happens in summer. The camps start. Players report to camps. That happens in summer. Anyway, JT celebrated summer, the arrival of summer, a little early on our last day before we celebrated Juneteenth. And we now have some of the particulars, Jeffrey, of said, well, we don't really know that much about the celebration. We know some things about the arrest. So here you go. He was driving a 2025 BMW gray after spending some time at the American Hotel. He hadn't made it more than a few blocks before he drove through a stop sign on the corner of Madison Street and Germain, a tree-lined block where the houses do not look like mansions. Refused to take a breath test three times. Smart dude there. I've been told I think that's the way to go. I had one martini and followed my friends home, he told the arresting officer, according to the report. Mr. Timberlake, quote, performed poorly in various field sobriety tests. The report said he was taken into the Huskow, where he handed over his wedding ring, his phone, his baseball cap, his watch, his wallet, a vape pen, and green and blue papers, the sort used for rolling marijuana. And there you go. Has pled not guilty.
Is New York a state where you can recreationally?
I don't know. But I don't think having the papers, you're allowed to have the papers no matter what. He has earlier said that he, at other times he has said he likes cannabis because it helps him to stop thinking. In an interview with Playboy, actually. As long as it was 2011. Court date has been set for July 26th. He has two shows at Madison Square Garden next week. The arresting officer did not know who he was. We have seen the mugshot. New York Post described him as looking bleary-eyed and whatever. I think he looks good in the mud. Looks determined. He has eyes a little red shot. Looks determined. You've seen it, I take it?
Yes, I have.
You know, handsome fella.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Eyes a brilliant blue.
I mean, he's a professionally good-looking guy.
And the eyes? Look at those. Yes, there's a little
baby
red
blues, yeah,
around the eyes. I'm a little skeptical of the I had one martini and followed people home because where the hell were they? What? Why did he? If he was following them home, why did he go blowing through a stop sign?
Yeah.
And he had a hard time maintaining his lane.
I think wasn't there also some? Maybe, I thought I saw something about perhaps cocaine was in the system too.
I didn't see anything about cocaine.
That was a detail from my wife. So
I didn't. I have not seen any. Maybe some people saw cocaine. I haven't seen anything about cocaine. Billy Joel said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged."
Correct.
So. Where are you on this? And it's very clearly, is it being blown out of proportion? Of course it is.
But that's what we do during
the
summer.
He's Justin Timberlake,
he made
for
God's sake. He made the mistake of getting arrested,
put himself
not during
in the
football
news.
Season.
Right. Well, and he's Justin Timberlake. It's stupid. Whatever you say, it is stupid. Now, if he had one martini and drove home, I don't blame him for that. But he obviously didn't. With all due respect, I don't believe it.
I think if he would just had one martini and drove home,
he wouldn't have blown through the stop sign.
Correct. I think
he could have been texting and driving through the stop sign or whatever else, but
I think if he just would have had one martini, I don't think he would have shown the symptoms
Or whatever. They would have, yeah. So I think he was probably driving while intoxicated, and that was stupid. And but he's pled not guilty, and he may well get off.
Right.
He's got a good lawyer theory.
Well, he refused the breathalyzer, so I don't, did they ever get. Like sometimes,
did they do a blood?
They'll take your blood. Like they'll take it somehow.
They tell you to refuse.
Always
it
refuse because
then by the time they get around to taking the blood alcohol, they got time. You bought time. Your blood alcohol is decreased. I mean, if a lawyer wants to tell me that's not correct, but that's what I have been told is that you should. Yeah, it'll be a while before they can take your blood.
Correct.
And so you will be better off refusing the breathalyzer. All right. So there you go. We do have the Grizzlies, the NBA draft, all of that 1 week from today. And one of the things that struck me was, you know, in that...
This would be night two, correct?
I'm sorry. 1 week today, we'll know,
who they have.
And
we'll know what they've done in the first round.
Going into, the big move will have been done.
Right.
a week from today. One of the things that struck me, and we'll talk to Chris Harrington about this more at 10 o'clock. One of the things that struck me, though, was looking at the ESPN power ranking that had the Grizzlies at 19, right? What they went on and on about was that the Grizzlies have this big hole at center, right? They docked them for the big hole at center. And with all due respect, if that's your approach, why don't you dock Philadelphia? They got big holes everywhere, right? I mean,
how many players do they even have under contract?
They've got Maxi and they've got Embiid, right? If you are, and I think, now mind you, I don't, they were well ahead of the Grizzlies. But the reason that they're ahead is that you're like, okay, they have holes, but we assume that they're actually going to fill these holes.
Correct, but they haven't yet.
But they we're projecting, I presume, into next year. So why are you giving the Sixers the benefit of the doubt that they will get good players to fill their holes and not giving the Grizzlies the benefit of the doubt? Yes, of course they have a hole. As soon as they traded Steven Adams and said, our plan is not to bring him back as a healthy Steven Adams, that is not our plan. That could have been their plan. That was not their plan. And as soon as they did that, and then they traded Tillman too. And by the way, there's some morons on the Grizzlies message boards who are critical of the Grizzlies for that because Tillman won a title. If you are in that category, you're not paying attention. He was a free agent at the end of the year, so he could have walked for nothing. So instead, once the Grizzlies season was effectively over, they got something for him. If they want him, they can always sign him back. Beyond that, he's not a good player. And he couldn't get on the court for the Celtics except for one moment. Well, they didn't have Porzingis. He did have one little brief shining moment, to steal a phrase. Other than that, DNPs. Like, if you want to criticize the Grizzlies for anything, be my guest. But for the Tillman trade, that is moronic. Anyway, they moved on from Steven Adams. They moved on from Tillman. They said, yes, we have a hole at center. But they're going to fill the hole. I don't know who they're going to fill it with, but it is kind of... Why do you dock them for having a hole at center when you know their whole offseason is going to be... And you don't need a star at center. You just need centers.
I mean, we even saw, like, it wasn't the perfect fit, but, like, just adding Bismack Biyombo off the street made them slightly better.
So, in terms of this...
By the way, I was going to count up. Do you want me to count up the DNPs for Tillman since getting to Boston?
How many DNPs for Tillman since getting to
Boston? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, inactive, 15, 16, another inactive, 17. Basically about half the games.
It did not play. So, yeah, don't give me that. It's nonsense. Anyway, there is a new mock draft over at ESPN, and it's a little depressing, although I have to say, I don't want to say I told you so, but way back when people started coming out with draft projections and people the Grizzlies might be interested in, I raised my hand and said, none of those players are going to be there at 9. Like, it was Reed Shepard and Stephon Castle and Alex Saar and Donovan Clingan, and none of them are going to be there at 9. I told you that 2 months ago, and it's very clear none of them are going to be there at 9. It's possible that Clingan falls, although what's interesting is the intrigue really starts at the top because they have not worked out, the Hawks have not worked out Alexander Saar, okay? He has not worked out for them. They've been unable to bring him in for a workout. They,
as in he's refusing?
Unable to bring him in for a workout, you tell me. Seems like...
I mean, that seems like
seems
to me...
like he's declining to work out.
Correct, but why would you not want to be the number one pick?
Meanwhile, Risa Shea has worked out for them. And the other player who has worked out for them and had a great workout for them, evidently, Donovan Clingan.
And
there's some thought that Clingan could even be a dark horse to go number one, but you know, beyond that, other teams are mentioned in connection and with Klingon, and the hard floor for Klingon, according to seemingly everybody, seems to be Portland at 7.
Yeah, I can see him falling. I don't see him falling to 9.
I just don't think... if you want to give up another first to go get him, I think that is a possibility. A protected first to go get him. You need a team that wants to give him up, that wants to give up their pick, and that's sometimes easier said than done, particularly if it's a top 10 protected. Are you really going to, you should have a conviction if you're Detroit at 5, right? You should have a conviction on who you like that's worth more than a Grizzlies first that could be 21st, the 21st pick in the league next year.
Absolutely.
I think it's unlikely the Grizzlies are going to be able to go up and get Donovan Klingon. Don't you?
You could talk me into they could pull off a deal at 6 or 7. I still think I'm with you. I think it's more likely that they'd be able to trade back than trade up.
Well, and
because I just think at a certain point, someone's going to sit there and go, all right, is Klingon going to be...
6 is Charlotte, maybe. Maybe from Charlotte to go 6 down to 9, they pick up an extra first.
Not a great fit
whether
for them.
And they don't know whether they want,
Well, you've got a new regime Dalton there. Maybe they want to get more of their own guys that they like and see how that experiment.
I could see that. If he falls that far, you might be able to jump ahead of Portland and get him. I could see that one. Getting to 8 probably won't do you any good because at that point Portland will have taken Klingon. Yes. So you're anyway. Here is according to the ESPN draft. Here is not going to be available for the Grizzlies to select. Risa Shea goes 1 to the Hawks, although Klingon a possibility. Okay, Sar goes 2 to the Wizards, although they would happily take Risa Shea. Okay, 3. Reed Shepard to Houston. That seems, and this is Jonathan Givony said that it's a very narrow range. He'll either go 3 to Houston or he'll go 4 to San Antonio. Like Reed Shepard's going to be gone. Okay. And this, by the way, hurts me because two players I really like in the draft are Shepard and Castle. And not only are they both, it appears, going to be gone before the Grizzlies draft, they're both going to Western Conference teams who the Grizzlies should be better than, but are staving off.
Right? In your division.
Literally in your division. Houston gets Reed Shepard at 3, and Stephon Castle goes to San Antonio at 4. I hate that.
I hate it.
But I think it's totally, I thought that makes all the sense in the world.
I think it makes all the sense in the world because I don't know if I've dropped this on you. I know I mentioned it in the afternoon. I've talked myself into Castle being new Kawhi. Because if you look at like their profiles coming out of college, right, they're very similar. Like the knock on Kawhi was he wasn't an elite shooter, but everything else. And Castle feels, Castle going to the Spurs, and it's like, can't you just see having a 20-year career?
You're gonna have Wemby on the guarding the rim,
right?
As
him guarding the
defense,
perimeter,
and you're gonna have Castle locking down someone on the perimeter, and it's gonna be hell.
Yes,
and with all due respect, you're gonna be counting with Ja and with Jaren. But you obviously want Ja versus Castle, not even close.
Can't you just see Castle as a Spur?
100%.
Yeah.
So then you've got Detroit. Congratulations, by the way, to Monty Williams. $65 million.
You know what else is getting left out of the conversation as well?
What?
He's also still getting paid from Phoenix.
It's a brilliant retirement plan.
Like I said it yesterday on Twitter. Like when I grow up, I want to be Monty Williams.
It's just the best. And that, by the way, goes to the point of if you are someone who's trying to defend the Lakers for not paying for Danny Hurley, I'm not saying Danny Hurley and Monty Williams are the same people, but one of the dangers of paying someone to take a job so much that they can't say no is they don't really want the job.
Right. Like, in the end, Monty Williams said no multiple times, and then finally
they paid him so much, he put a number, he's like,
I guess I'm going to go coach the Pistons.
And then it wasn't a success because he didn't want the job.
Correct.
The only reason he took it was he got a big enough stack of money that he couldn't say no.
Yes.
So actually, that to me is honestly the Lakers' best defense. You've got Bouzelis at 5 to the Pistons. A lot of people are talking now about that as the landing spot for Bouzelis. You've then got the Charlotte Hornets taking Dalton Knecht. Now, that's a little, obviously if Shepherd or Castle fall to him, that might disrupt that. But according to Jonathan Givony, rival teams say they would be surprised to see Knecht fall past both Portland and San Antonio at 7 and 8, where he seems to be coveted. So if you are one of those Tennessee fans out there, and there are plenty of you, who want to see Dalton Knecht fall to the Grizzlies, also doesn't seem likely, right?
Yep.
Donovan Klingon then goes to Portland at 7. And so, among the players who are available to you if you are a Grizzly fan, or when you're the Grizzlies, Devin Carter, Topic, Cody Williams available to you, Rob Dillingham available to you, Ron Holland available to you, Jacoby Walter available to you, Zach Edey available to you. Zach Edey, by the way, and shout out to, I think this is smart, Zach Edey turns down the invitation to the green room.
Yeah.
If you're Zach Edey, you're the best player in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to go to the green room and be picked 17th? And then if you happen to fall, you are the biggest dude sitting in the green room.
Will find you.
You can't exactly slip under the table.
Correct.
Right? I think you be at home with your fans from Purdue.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think for Edey, I think it makes all the – and it's not like he needs a higher profile.
No, I'm with you. And also, it's like, hey, you know, it's a nice moment for you and your family. Like, everyone.
Yeah,
like,
I value my family. I'm old school in all kinds of different ways, right? And so what do you do if you can't trade down? I think we all agree at that point the move is to trade down if you can. If you have someone who's going to pay you something substantial to trade down, you can then pay less money. You'll pay a lower salary slot. You could probably get a roughly equivalent player. You're trying to trade down. No one wants to give you anything to trade down. Tijan Salloon also there, by the way, among the players. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Edey.
You're taking Edey.
I've talked myself into it. Again, I am not saying that I think Edey is going to be first team All-NBA, that he will even be the best player selected.
What if they've identified another center in that they know they can, whether by free agent or trade or something, who they?
I mean, I'm willing to trust them. I mean, let's be real. As fans, what do? Even if we don't like something, we'll talk ourselves into it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, we talked ourselves into Zaire.
You would take Zach Edey.
Yes, simply because.
And would you feel good about it at the end of the evening?
I would feel fine because I know.
I kind of like him.
Like what I know about him is that he is going to rebound. He's going to set screens. Is he going to be on the floor in the fourth quarter? I have no idea, but I do know next year he's going to play probably 20-25 minutes a game for me.
And he is going to make sure you aren't crushed.
Correct.
Physically.
Yes.
Right? Again, when you're playing teams that manhandle
people
physically.
He's much more skilled than he gets credit for. Like, offensively, he's...
You don't think Ja could work a nice pick and roll with Zach Edey?
Well, on top of that, like, this idea that setting a screen is somehow, like, magic, like, he can do it.
Well, have you seen this? Have you seen this mock draft?
Yes, I have seen this one.
According
there's
to this
not
mock
much
draft,
out there right now.
The Grizzlies take Cody Williams from Colorado. Now, Cody Williams is interesting because Cody Williams was, if you were paying attention in November, December, even through January, Cody Williams is a guy who, listen, he looks. His brother plays for Oklahoma City.
Yep.
He looks exactly like you want a wing to look. He's 6'8". He's got a 7'1 wingspan. He's sort of the updated Zaire Williams.
Yep.
Like he is physically, and not as skinny as Zaire Williams. And so he's physically what you want. And
he's also a little bit older than Zaire.
Playing really well at that point, and people were wondering if he's going to be a top 3 pick. And then kind of went off the rails. And And so it is more you look at him and think that looks like what we want as opposed to the actual performance of what you want. He's not a guy that John Hollinger is particularly high on. Not a guy, as I recall, that Chris Harrington is particularly high on. I don't think a guy that Drew Hill, you can ask Drew when he's on with you this afternoon, is particularly high on. I'll be uninspired if that's who they pick. But I've said it a million times. I trust the front office. It doesn't mean I think they're perfect. You know, they drafted Zaire Williams. They're not perfect. They trust they particularly have not been perfect looking for wings. Justice sure. Winslow, you know, whether by trade or draft. But in the end, I'll say okay. Hope for the best. Wonder what they're going to do at center. Like would you crush this?
No. I mean,
how could you?
I mean, I don't have a strong conviction one way or the other. The only thing that I would say is, man, I get Jeff Green vibes. Looks like the prototypical guy.
But do you instead take Ron? At this point, there is no. I mean, if you don't take Edie, if you don't go that direction, right? And I'm sure they have a conviction on Edie, right, one way or another. And so if you're then saying, well, we're just going to take a wing, we're just going to take the best wing we can take, it's either.
The only problem with that is Cody Williams just feels like project.
Or it's Ron Holland, also project, because he can't shoot.
I mean, that's kind of the problem. Like, to me, I understand logic of, Jeff, we always take the best player available. We're just trying to accumulate talent. I look at it in terms of...
But there's no wing player who's going to step in and not be a project for you.
I mean,
Jacoby Walter, maybe. Maybe is a little more ready-cooked.
I mean, maybe, but he's still got questions. And to me, it's like...
That's why you're back to Edie.
Yes.
Like, plug and play, baby.
Even if they took Edie at 9, I'm fine with it.
Like, I'm fine with it. Like, anyone who will say that, they should have traded down and take Edie, I will know, too. If they don't, it's either a couple of reasons. One, like, I don't think I'm smarter than, I don't think I know more and I have more intel than they do. So if they were to take him there, it would either be because they think they really like him and they think someone would take him, you know. They weren't offered anything of great value and they said, well, fine. Like, if he is what you need as a center and you get him at 9 instead of 16 because you traded down, who the hell cares?
Aren't you in a similar position with Keon Coleman and the Bills? Like, you knew the Bills needed a receiver. And yeah, you weren't, like, neither one of us were.
Now, the Bills did trade down to get, they said, we need a receiver, and we don't, the guys, the elite guys.
Yep. We're gone.
Are gone. And so they did what some want the Grizzlies to do with Zach Edey, is trade down and take Zach Edey. Trade down and take Keon Coleman.
Right, but at the same time, it's like, while you didn't have the world's greatest conviction that Keon Coleman was the receiver that you loved,
right?
At the same time, you've already talked yourself into it, right?
100%. As soon as showed up with a yellow jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll talk myself into it. All right. We got Chris Harrington to continue this conversation straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we got Writer of the Night Trivia with Kevin Cerrito's return in the second hour. Before then, I will tell you, if you are need something framed, don't just put the diplomas or the graduation pics or the whatever mobile you have. Don't just stick it in a corner for another day because it's going to collect dust. It'll get ruined, lost to the mists of time. Take it into the frame corner and have them make them look absolutely beautiful. A gift like that. If you get something framed as a gift for someone, not only is it beautiful and a great gift, you know what it is? It's thoughtful. That's a great, to be able to look thoughtful. It's just a wonderful thing, and you will have it forever. It will be a memory that is preserved. You can hand it down through the generations. That's what happens when you get something framed. Custom framing at Frame Corner. FrameCornerMemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Back in a moment, Jeff Dawkins here, 92.9 FM ESPN. I was talking to the folks at Leaders the other day. Leaders Credit Union, of course, place that I've been talking about, does all the things a bank does, mortgages, car loans, checking accounts, debit cards. Only they exist purely for the benefit of their members, and so they've got better technology, they got better rates. Every penny they earn is poured right back into helping their customers, their members. But a couple things came up during this meeting. One, they just broke ground on a new Arlington location, so that's exciting. Also, a reminder, if you sign up at Leaders, or when you sign up at Leaders, mention ESPN, and you get the $25 membership fee waived. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com, leaderscu.com/ESPN.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, and increased in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local PF Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. PF Chang's and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300 horsepower engine or the available 375 horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
At Robert Irwin Jewelers, we've got choices. You can get natural diamonds or lab-grown diamonds. Or you could go to the Bahamas, maybe Mexico, or how about a four-night cruise for two?
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. What's going on?
As part of the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale, with any purchase of $24.95 or more, you're going to get a free vacation getaway for two.
That sounds like the RIJ way.
Save up to 40% off during the Summer of 1,000 engagement sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers, going on now. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, free financing. See a store for complete details or online at rijewelers.com.
Grab a free gym pass from your neighborhood gym today. Thanks to Shelby County Government's new Shelby Cares program. Local residents 16 and up can attend free beginner-friendly yoga, aerobics, or CrossFit classes at the neighborhood health club near you. Visit www.shelbycares.co/workout. That's www.shelbycares.co/workout. Family, let's get active. Make friends and have fun. Together, we can make Shelby County one of the healthiest places on Earth.
Gabe Kuhn here. I know if you're anything like me, you head to the liquor store as the weekend approaches. And if you head to the liquor store as the weekend approaches, make sure that you don't reach for that national brand you've been reaching for years. But reach for Old Dominic. A spirit from Old Dominic is phenomenal. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. It's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city. And the distillery is right here on the riverfront, 305 South Front Street. They have events all the time that you can check out at olddominic.com. Old Dominic Distillery. Come say hi.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Grainger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you need
bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my podcast called Search Engine, voted one of the best new podcasts by Time Magazine, Vogue, and The Economist. We answer fascinating questions about business, tech, and history. Questions like, who should be in charge of artificial intelligence? Or how did ADHD medication get so popular so fast? Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you use oxygen therapy to breathe? Are you tired of carrying around a heavy tank when you leave home? If you've been prescribed oxygen, you know the problems that arise when you're tied to an oxygen tank. Going out of the house is a burden, and nobody likes to be stuck inside alone. Now you can live life on the go with a lightweight Inogen Portable Oxygen Concentrator. Travel around the corner or on board an aircraft. Inogen Portable Oxygen Concentrators provide the medical-grade oxygen your doctor prescribes in a device that weighs less than 5 pounds. Inogen's longest-lasting device delivers 12 hours of oxygen on a single battery charge, so you have more time to visit with friends and family, go shopping, and live the active life you love. Learn how you can experience an Inogen system for yourself, risk-free. Call now, 1-800-254-9207. That's 1-800-254-9207. Inogen devices are by prescription only. Battery run times vary by device and setting usage. Terms and conditions apply. For safety information, visit Inogen.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Summer of 1,000 engagements over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And that means, well, what it means is that you should head on to Robert Irwin Jewelers if you're thinking about getting engaged. Because during the Summer of 1,000 engagements, in addition to all the spectacular service and brilliant diamond rings and custom designing and all of that that is part of the experience of buying a diamond ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, right now during the Summer of 1,000 engagements, 40% off all engagement rings and a free summer vacation getaway. So you can pop the question on your free vacation. It includes, among other choices, 4-night cruise, 3-night stay in the Dominican Republic, 3-night stay on a Caribbean island, 3-night stay in Las Vegas, etc. So all you got to do is spend $24.95 or more. You get a free vacation, plus, of course, 40% off all engagement rings. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers, rijewelers.com, 5 locations in Memphis and Little Rock. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe It or Not on the Jeff Calkins Show.
One of the great cures for depression, Jeffrey, is a dog.
Believe it or not.
I think it's an underrated one.
Underrated.
So I'd say I would believe that.
We were talking today. You got difficult news yesterday.
Yep. So my dog has cancer
Carly
now.
Has cancer.
She is 12. And it's one of those things where I've known she's not been right for a while. But you're kind of afraid to go to the vet because you don't really want to hear what you know is going to happen. And yesterday, my wife at like 6 o'clock starts screaming, and you know, it startles me, wakes me up, and my dog's had a seizure.
Oh.
And so we were off yesterday, so, and Aaliyah had to go to work, and so I was taking care of Josephine. So we just went to my parents' house, and then I took her into my parents' vet, and over at Forest Hill, they were awesome.
Tests,
I mean, they were fabulous, and it was just so disheartening because they loved her over there. And like, you know, I'm talking with one of the vets, and she's trying to bring in any vet that will give her any other diagnosis than what she clearly knows is, like, she's trying to make it pneumonia.
The hell of a thing about a dog is that, you know, we outlast them. Yep. I mean, it's a good thing for our perspective.
But they don't
if
live
you have
enough.
Dogs, you're going to go through the life cycle of a dog.
Yep.
And it is interesting. People are all the time, they post, my dog passed the Rainbow Bridge, my dog died, sad day, whatever. In a way that it's interesting. It's you're allowed to be emotional and public about the death and mourning of a pet in the way that, like, maybe with people who are close to you, it's almost too searing or something like that. But the experience, it's not universal. Like, there's some people who don't have dogs, some people who don't have cats, whatever. But certainly for anyone who's ever had and loved a dog, that experience of going in and getting the bad news and then ultimately having to say goodbye to the dog is just, and then I don't mean to, honestly, the worst part to me, as bad as anything, is coming home to the empty house, because the dog sounds different when there's not a house, the house sounds different when there's not a dog in it. And I was asking you earlier, you got Carly when you were?
I got her July 31st, 2014. So I was back, I was doing grad school and working for Rivals in Oxford, covering Ole Miss. And, you know, I'd quit the retail food job and was trying to go back and get on this path. And, you know, when you're starting on a path in sports media,
right, it's not the most.
It's, you know what I mean? I have no idea. Is this going to work? Is this going to be, is this even realistic?
That's the thing. If you knew it was going to end happily,
correct,
then you could say, oh, I'm just putting in my things.
Right, I'm going to get my time.
But you don't even know. The same thing was for me when I was in Anniston. I didn't even know that it was lead to anything. So you're doing it, and you're putting in awful hours, you get no money, so you're depressed, and you decided. It is interesting to me that you decided, I'll go get a dog. That is a brilliant decision.
And to me, the biggest reason to go get a dog, A, I'm a dog person. And
right.
I love dogs. But also the big part for me is like, okay, if you have something else to take care of, and you have something, 100%. You have responsibilities.
It gets you out of yourself all
correct,
the time.
And you're not just sitting there wallowing, thinking about,
you have to walk them. You have to feed them. You got to get out of bed. You got to, whatever, take them for a run or take them for a walk.
100%.
And plus, they're always freaking happy.
Correct. And they're, you know, there's obviously, I'm sure, some form of narcissism in it that, hey.
Plus, they love you.
Here's
they
something
love you
that loves
so
me.
Much.
You know,
right? Yeah,
here's
exactly.
Something that wants to be around me. And the funny thing is, I went to Oxford has a kill shelter, and so I went to go and look for a dog, and she's always been skittish, and so I just thought there was something ironic. The dog that I found and wanted was the dog that was, like, scared of me and backing up and didn't,
right.
Like, was... there's all these dogs that just come up and love on
throwing you. Throwing
themselves at you,
right.
And this one's, like, hopping in the back, and I later found out, like, had I not gotten her, I don't know if she would have made the week. And so, you know, you are someone that's also pointed out that sometimes the part of a dog is it's like it demarks time and where you were in your
right.
life and whatnot.
Right.
And so Carly's been with me from bad to
there are certain dogs
my
in your
wife,
life that really know? Do have a, like, you know, for me, it was the first Bernese Mountain Dog I ever got. I just gotten divorced, and it's me and these boys, and I needed a, you know,
a lift.
I need a girl in the house,
yeah.
too, and a lift and whatever else. And so I love my current dogs, and they're great, but I think my lifetime dog, I think a lot of people know that idea. I have a lifetime
yep.
dog, and that was Libby. But, all right. While we're on this topic, anxiety is the modern current American malady.
Believe it or not.
I think it's certainly being billed as.
You think it's overrated. You think anxiety isn't. I asked because I went to see What's it called? Inside Out 2?
Inside Out 2, yes.
And it's all about anxiety.
Correct. Well, it's all the emotions.
Yeah, but like, the starring emotion in Inside Out 2?
Anxiety.
I'm just telling you, it's anxiety. Now, I don't know if I saw Inside Out 1. I thought I hadn't. But then when I went to see Inside Out 2, they all seemed familiar.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just I've seen snippets here and there or whatever else. But what I would say about it is, first of all, it's the one movie this summer. I haven't looked at the numbers, but it's the one movie this summer that seems to be crushing it and outstripping expectations. We tried to get tickets for Tuesday night, and there wasn't you couldn't sit at the Paradiso. I couldn't sit next to Claire. And so we ended up going to a 9 o'clock, which is, for me, you know, whatever, way late. So it's wildly popular.
It's already the second biggest domestic movie of the year.
It's huge. Like, did I enjoy it like I enjoyed Fall Guy? No, not even close. Like, Fall Guy picked me up, moved me along, deposited me at the end. What a fun, rollicking movie. This I sort of watched, you know, and it's cute. And I do think the central point that it makes about anxiety, it's about, you know, there's all these little emotions in this girl's head, Riley's head, that take turns at the wheel, at the controls, right? And I guess when you're a kid, in Inside Out 1, it was anger, joy, disgust, and sadness. Okay? Those are the four who are vying for controls when you're a kid. And it's true. When you're a kid, it's kind of simple. You're mad, or you're happy, or you're sad, or you get disgust. So she hits puberty, and all of a sudden you get a whole bunch of other emotions. Ennui is one. And, embarrassment is one, envy is one, and anxiety. But the movie's really about anxiety, and it's about anxiety taking over. And honestly, I related. I related as much as in my own personal life, I related to it as a parent. Because I parented, this is the biggest thing I would change if I could go back and reparent my kids. And I'm still parenting my kids, whatever. And I'm trying to work on it now. I would try not to parent out of anxiety. It's this idea that if you do everything right and you can't get a B minus, you can't go whatever you because then you're and I'm gonna get myself worked up into such an anxiety over every little thing, whether you made this soccer team, whether you whatever, because that's going to be I can pave the way to your happiness and protect you from all by just being super anxious about always doing the right thing. And my anxiety then spills into the kids and they become anxious too. And so I kind of bought it. I didn't love the movie. It wasn't a wildly entertaining movie.
Right.
Claire, as a therapist, thought it was spot on. And so I guess I recommend it, even though I don't recommend it as a rollicking entertainment vehicle.
Yeah, I've always struggled with how we treat emotions. Because on a certain level, anxiety is definitely something that can be crippling. When it gets out of hand. But there is also a certain part of anxiety can also motivate you to do
that. No. Yeah. Well, Claire's point often is that all these things, emotions, you need them all. And in balance, they're all appropriate.
Right.
You want to be able to experience sadness. Anxiety protects you from things.
Yes.
Like worry and anxiety and whatever else. It makes sure you're ready for the test. It makes
100%.
Sure you're, like, anxiety is a healthy emotion. It's only when one of them gets out of whack,
correct,
and takes over and you know, destroys the other, all the other, that it gets out of bounds. And I do think, I certainly saw it myself, that there are times that anxiety got out of control. Anyway, saw it, recommend it, but not as a rollicking entertainment experience. Vols are going to win the College World Series.
Believe it or not.
I think I'm going to say I believe it.
Best of three Saturday against Texas A&M.
Against A&M, the two best teams pretty much for most of the year are meeting in the final, which I think is kind of what you want in sports. Like, you'd like to see this. They're kind of opposites, where it feels like A&M has done it more with pitching, defense, and then they still hit enough. But
right.
Tennessee just tries to maul you to death, and they're going to outscore you. I just feel like from what I've watched during much of the region, regionals, they have struck me as the best team. And typically now when you get Saturday, you get to reset your pitching. I, I think they're the best team.
Okay, here's another one. Tennessee fans would swap a baseball title for a first-round loss in the college football playoff.
Believe it or not.
You make the playoff.
So a playoff appearance.
A playoff appearance. But I'm telling you, it's not going to go deep.
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah, in the end of titles, banners fly forever.
Baseball banners fly forever?
Yeah, because Tennessee's also kind of done...
How about a women's volleyball banner? They fly forever?
Tennessee's kind of done the move of... It used to strike me as like when Ole Miss got super involved in baseball and baseball matter. Like Tennessee, when they started winning, they're like,
you
oh,
just
yeah.
Persuade yourself this matters just as much. When Ole Miss won a title, you're like, this matters.
Correct.
When you're winning the title. It is one of the interesting things that struck me because earlier this week on the show that precedes ours on ESPN, they were talking about, because this was in the wake of the Celtics winning the championship, they were talking about the sport that is most likely, what coach, what team, what program is most likely to produce the next dynasty, starting today or starting last night. The Celtics were included.
Right.
Okay? But what they said, to win three titles in the next 5 years, okay? So you don't get any of the Chiefs' old titles.
Okay.
Right?
So it has to be.
It has
do you
to be.
Get the, do you get this last Chiefs title?
No, for whatever reason, they made the rules. They were giving you the Celtics' last title, but they were not giving the Chiefs' last title. Okay, and so who is most likely? And so what was interesting is among the teams that were mentioned, you had Danny Hurley and UConn.
Okay,
and I don't think that's likely because it's a single elimination, and they're not that dominant. Like, they've won two in a row, but I don't think they're likely. Not at all. I would say the Chiefs are more likely to win three of the next five rather than UConn. Win three
probably
of the next five.
Probably just because of Mahomes.
Right. They mentioned kind of like, should we be considering Houston? Like, what if C.J. Stroud's awesome? He's on a cheap contract. Like, would that matter? I think the Celtics were included in them. But what I'm getting to is, their number one program was women's basketball, South Carolina, right?
Hmm.
Which I can buy. Like, they are dominant in a way, honestly, that even UConn, like, in terms of year over year over year. But what's interesting to me is we have elevated women's basketball, and I'm not complaining about it. I think it's a good thing. We have elevated women's basketball to a place where we consider it in the conversation. There's also women's soccer. There's lacrosse. There's, you know, like, if you're literally opening every sport, is Syracuse lacrosse? Who won? I don't know who won lacrosse this year.
I think it was Notre Dame, but
whatever. So it is interesting. We have elevated women's basketball into a place where, like, if I had said, well, you know what it is? It's North Carolina soccer is the most likely. People would say, no, I'm talking real programs here. And we have crossed. Is baseball also now in the... If I had said most likely is, you know, give me a baseball program.
Yeah, the funny thing.
If I had given you a women's softball program, are people buying that?
So I actually,
no.
I really like probably going with South Carolina women's basketball because what we've seen in women's basketball is teams can be dominant. And can go on.
There's a greater disparity in men's basketball. There's not the same disparity.
Correct.
Women's basketball, like, she gets all the best players now.
Correct.
Not all the best. I mean, there's some go to UConn and whatever else, but she dominates in terms of getting the best players. She's on a roll in a way that in women's basketball, you're allowed to get on the roll. I actually like the choice. I just think it's interesting that 10 years ago, if you had had that same conversation, you would not have said a women's basketball, even though UConn at that point was winning all of them,
right.
Or Tennessee once upon a time, you wouldn't have said that. We're talking real sports here. And good for them, women's basketball has been elevated there, whereas if I had told you, who's the softball power?
Now it's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. If I had said Oklahoma softball...
They would have said, no,
we're not talking about that.
Well, the other thing with baseball is, while the SEC is guaranteed to win a fifth straight title... It's going to be a fifth different team. So it'll be Vanderbilt, then you had the COVID season that was canceled, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, last year LSU, and then this year it's either going to be A&M or Tennessee. So it'd be a different SEC team, but a another SEC team is going to win a fifth straight title.
Let's squeeze this one in real quick. Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers do not want Brandon Ayuk back.
Believe it or not.
That's what Brandon Ayuk has claimed.
No, so I don't believe that. I don't think that they want Brandon Ayuk back at the price that Brandon Ayuk wants to be back.
Right. That's exactly right. They clearly want him back.
100%.
If they didn't want him back, they would have tried.